A very happy Easter to all of you today. I know that it's been the most unique Lent and Easter, at least in my lifetime, and I suspect for you as well. But regardless of where you are, today the Holy Spirit is with you, and our love and prayers here at Christ Church are with you, and we hope that you have a very blessed Easter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today on Easter morning, we join millions and millions of Christians around the world as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a bodily resurrection, a physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, who identified himself as the resurrection and the life, and then demonstrated that once and for all on Easter morning. As we just heard read in the gospel passage today, the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, at dawn had gone to the tomb expecting to embalm Jesus' body. And when they got there, they were stunned and overwhelmed as they saw an angel descend from heaven like lightning. And there was an earthquake, and the angel rolled back the stone that had covered the tomb, and the angel sat on it. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were so overwhelmed, so stunned, so terrified that the angel had to reassure them, just as the angel would reassure you and me as well. Do not be afraid. That's the first thing the angel said. Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. And indeed, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message to you. Completely overwhelmed, the two Marys immediately start running to go tell the disciples when something even more amazing, something even more magnificent happened, and they came across the risen Jesus himself. The risen Jesus himself, who had come to actually to the two Marys. And the first thing Jesus said to them was the exact first thing, same first thing the angel had said to them. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Jesus said. Go and tell my brothers in Galilee to meet me there, to go there, and I'll meet them then. Greetings. Do not be afraid. And that's the message of Easter. Do not be afraid. That no matter what happens to you or what happens to any of us during this pandemic or any other challenging situation in your life, it is all going to be okay. God's love is stronger than death. Do not be afraid. Earlier in Matthew's account of the gospel on Good Friday, he had written that these two same Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, had also, from a distance, seen Jesus suffer and die on the cross. From a distance, they watched him struggle for every breath. From a distance, they saw people mock him as he suffered on the cross. From a distance, they saw the sky grow black for 3 hours, from noon until 3 p.m. From a distance, they heard Jesus cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? And from a distance, they heard those who declared after Jesus' final breath, truly, this man is God's son. And here from a distance on Easter morning, they saw the empty tomb and they saw the angel and they saw the stone rolled away. But suddenly, they see Jesus himself, the risen Jesus, not at a distance, but right there. Right there in front of them, up close and personal, so close that as they worshiped him, they literally took hold of his feet, the feet that bore the scars from Good Friday, the scars of God's unconditional, unsurpassed, immeasurable love for the two Marys and for you. And again, Jesus repeated what the angel had said, "Do not be afraid." As a priest, I'm often asked to do deathbed visits, to visit with people who are about to die or in the process of dying, or have just died. It's a sacred privilege. Every single one of these visits is a sacred privilege. And I've done many, many, many of these over the years, but one stands out in particular as the most humbling for me. It happened a few years ago. I was in a hospital doing a deathbed visit with a wonderful elderly gentleman who had just died. And I'm in the hospital room, gathered around the bed with some of his family and loved ones. And we're all gathered together to pray and to commend this wonderful saint to the mercy of God. And in the middle of the prayer, something strange and unexpected suddenly happened. And the bed upon which this dead man lay suddenly started to raise up. And this dead man's lying on the bed and the bed's lifting him up. And we're all completely stunned. What's going on? And then to my shock and my embarrassment, I realized that as I'm reading these prayers, I'm leaning up against the button on the hospital bed, causing him to rise up. And it was so awkward. And it was awkward for a moment, that awkward pause that you've experienced in your life. And then a couple soft chuckles, and then more soft chuckles, and then laughter. And this family could not have been any more gracious to me. In that moment, I felt like the most clueless priest on the planet. I've had plenty of those moments, but I'll share the others for another sermon. But in that moment, we all laughed. Even at the face of death, we didn't need to be afraid, because God's love is stronger than death. Even as we celebrate every year at Easter, God's love is stronger than death. We need not be afraid. And like Jesus' death on Good Friday, Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday is a cosmic, universal, immeasurable expression of the love of God for the world and the love of God for you. Scripture says that God's love is stronger than death. Scripture assures us that there is no fear at all in love, no fear in love, but that perfect love casts out fear. And the perfect love of God expressed on Good Friday and the perfect love of God expressed on Easter morning casts out the fear of death. Even at death's doorstep, we need not be afraid. And regardless of how clueless we may be in the presence of death, how clueless we may be when we talk about Jesus' resurrection or about the hope of our own future resurrection, we can still laugh and we can still remember the words of the angel and the words of the risen Jesus to the two Marys. Do not be afraid. One of my favorite Shakespeare plays is one of his latter tragedies, King Lear. If you've never read King Lear, I recommend it, but a warning, it's not a pick-me-up. Like all of his tragedies, it's really dark, but it's brilliant. And you may be familiar with the story. King Lear is elderly. He's losing his mind. He has three daughters, Goneril, Regan, and his youngest, Cordelia. And Cordelia, the youngest, has always been his favorite. But Goneril and Regan, they want their father's land and they want his power. And so they smooze and fawn over him. And Cordelia, the youngest daughter, refuses to do that. And so in a moment of madness, King Lear gives everything to Goneril and Regan, leaves Cordelia out. Well, then later, King Lear realizes that Goneril and Regan actually have just been using him the whole time. And that Cordelia, who had always been his favorite, was actually his only daughter that actually truly loved him all along. And this realization accelerates his descent into madness. And as often the case with Shakespeare's tragedies, many of the main characters die, and all three of King Lear's daughters die before this play ends. And in a heartbreaking scene toward the end of the play, King Lear, descending into madness, walks on stage carrying the dead body of his beloved, favorite, youngest daughter, Cordelia. And in the scene that Yale University literary critic Harold Bloom calls, quote, "the shattering beyond all measure in Shakespeare and indeed all Western literature," King Lear walks on stage carrying Cordelia and he cries out, "How? How? 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 Oh, you are men of stones. Had I your tongues and eyes, I'd use them, that heaven's vault should crack. She's gone forever. I know when one is dead and when one lives, and she's dead as earth." Harold Bloom continues, "That fourfold howl is the cry of the human heart in Lear, and an injunction to all of us to shout out our grief." Death is the most heartbreaking part of our existence. You know that. I know that. When a loved one dies, when our loved ones are as dead as earth, we cry and we howl and we shout out our grief. But on Easter, we remember that yes, while death is the most heartbreaking part of our existence, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the accompanying hope of our own future resurrection is the most heart-healing thing in our existence. Jesus' resurrection replaces our cries of grief with cries of joy. Jesus' resurrection replaces our howls of grief with howls of laughter. Jesus' resurrection replaces our shouts of grief with shouts of joy. This is what happened when the two Marys, who were still in the midst of their grief, saw the empty tomb, saw the angel sitting on the stone, saw the risen Jesus himself, and knew that it was all going to be all right after all, and were reminded, "Do not be afraid." Everything was transformed and changed for the two Marys, and everything is transformed and changed for you and me. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. I'll close with a brief episode from a book by one of my favorite preachers ever, Brennan Manning, who passed away several years ago. In his 1994 book, Abba's Child, he recounts a story, a true story, about an elderly gentleman who was dying of cancer. And this gentleman had always struggled with prayer. You know, some Christians, they have no problem praying. It just works for them. It's very natural. And other Christians, maybe some of you, it just feels like you're talking to no one or your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Well, that's the kind of thing that this elderly man struggled with, was prayer. And one day, one of his best friends said, "Okay, try this. Take an empty chair, place it right across from the chair you're sitting in, and imagine Jesus is sitting there with you. And just talk with him and listen to him as you would with me. Right this moment. Try to pray that way and see what happens." Well, this elderly man started trying this, and it worked. It worked so well that every day he's spending several hours a day talking to Jesus, who he's visualizing in the chair, the empty chair that wasn't empty, right next to his bed. He made sure to never be doing this when his caretaker, his wonderful daughter, who loved him as much as Cordelia loved King Lear, he made sure to never do this in front of her. He didn't want her to think he was crazy. And he kept doing this. And one day he shared all this with a priest who had come to administer last rites. And then Brennan Manning concludes this episode. The priest was deeply moved by this man's story. Then he prayed with him, anointed him with oil, and returned to the rectory. 2 nights later, the daughter called the priest to tell him that her daddy had died that afternoon. The priest asked, "Well, did he seem to die in peace?" "Yes," the daughter said. "When I left the house around 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, and kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange. In fact, beyond strange, kind of weird. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on the chair beside his bed." You see, that is what it looks like to take to heart the message of Easter. Do not be afraid. God's love is stronger than death. The words of the angel and the words of the risen Jesus to the two Marys on Easter morning are God's words to you on this Easter morning. Do not be afraid. God's love is stronger than death. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.